Welcome everyone to Behind the Curtain with me, Rhiannon Carrs. In today's episode, I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by Curtain's chief exec, Neil Parkinson. Neil is only just over a year into this job, but not many people know Curtain's better. He's been with the business for over 30 years and has worked in seven different geographical locations. That's more than any other member of the team ever. So I think we can safely say that he's what you'd call a subject expert. Welcome, Neil. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Rhi.
Okay, let's dive straight in. So tell us, what's your first year been like as chief exec from a personal perspective?
Well, I suppose firstly, a whirlwind. Mm-hmm. It's gone really quickly. It's the first in my 33 years here without Rob Mellon being here. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been the same for a lot of us.
Yeah.
We've all adjusted to life without Rob. We've all cut the apron strings. But what's, I suppose, been a bit scary is how quickly we've all just got on with it, got used to it.
Yeah.
Stuff changes and you move. Mm-hmm. My role's changed a lot, as you might imagine, and you'll have seen. A lot of people ask me, Neil, what do you actually do? and I guess, and the real answer should be in this role, well, nothing. My job is to facilitate rather than do, and you've known me a long time. Mm-hmm. I'm a doer, aren't I? I like rolling my sleeves up and doing stuff, get stuck in. And that isn't always the right answer. So how can I personally facilitate everybody else to be the very best version of themselves, get the best out of themselves? And you'll know personally that there's a few people whose roles have changed a little bit this year.
Yeah.
Again, all intended for us all to get the best out of each other. Mm-hmm. And it feels like it's working.
Yeah.
So far, so good, I think. I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'd certainly say from kind of my perspective and from the position that I sit in on the board, it's felt like a really kind of smooth transition. Nobody knew Rob better than you. And I think it's definitely felt like that kind of custodianship has been passed over in a very kind of, I suppose, easy way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So tell us then, what's really making you tick at the moment?
I guess the things we've talked a lot about, certainly last year and as we move into this, has been about ownership, mm-hmm. ownership of the business, mm-hmm. EOT, and great projects. The will to make everybody feel like owners of the business. And mm-hmm. we started talking to everybody last year, didn't we, about being owners. Yes. We did owners updates. I'm just about to head off on the road again, mm-hmm. to go and talk to the business about the plans for this year and indeed the plans for the next 3 or 4 years. And again, talking to everybody as owners, reporting to the shareholders. And I feel like that's started to gather a bit of momentum, gain a bit of traction. And the projects, doing great projects, really worthwhile projects. Alex and I did the roadshow last summer. And we highlighted in all of the offices, all of the projects that are being done around the country. And you could see and feel the pride people felt in the difference we're making. I got a lot of feedback from that, a lot of comments. One really stood out for me, which was from Paula Hargreaves, mm-hmm. in the finance team, where she'd seen all the projects. And she just said reflected how nice it was to see what those projects were, rather than just titles on an invoice, because that's what she sees. And again, this sense of pride that we've created thousands of school spaces, thousands of new hospital beds, that really stood out for people, for me. So those issues of ownership and delivering great projects are really, really front of mind for me as we move into this year.
That totally resonates with me. I always say when I drive around Liverpool, I love to see the schools and the you know, the commercial buildings, the hospitals that we're working on. But I'll drive past the Albert Dock with my kids, Lily and Evelyn, and I point to it and I say, that's one of Mummy's. Now, even though Bill saved the Albert Dock decades ago, I feel like really personally connected to that. So I completely relate to what Paul is saying there.
Yeah.
That actually kind of those projects come into life, you feeling that personal connection to them. It's what we're all here for, isn't it? It's what it's all about.
Yeah, and it's so everybody in the individual office is doing that locally, like you're doing in Liverpool, but then knowing, God, we're doing that everywhere.
Yeah.
So you could walk around the streets of Manchester or London or Edinburgh and do the same again. Really iconic buildings, really really improving the local area, the local community, and you can point out and say, we did that.
Amazing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, absolutely. I want to take us to kind of looking at the horizon. I suppose kind of the ambition, the vision. You're a visionary person. You have those kind of strategic thoughts in terms of where we want to take Kern. So what's the direction of travel? Talk us through that.
I suppose the things we talked about last year and really focused on, as you know, I like focus. Mm-hmm. What should we home in on? What's really important to us? How can we improve what we're doing? It's very much about evolution, not revolution. Yeah. The last 65 years have been pretty successful. We're a mm-hmm. pretty cool business. So there's no need to change too much. But we do need to evolve. The world is changing. Technology's changing fast.
Yeah.
And we need to respond to that. We want to be at the leading edge of it. But in some ways, we want others to be at the bleeding edge and fail first, and then we'll take all the good ideas and implement those mm-hmm. And have a few good ideas of our own. So that's been, I suppose, looking forward, there's a real focus on how do we do that. We talked last year about client focus. How can we be more, I suppose, customer-centric
mm-hmm.
And make sure that the values of those clients are values that are aligned with ours. So how can we make sure we're engaging with the right clients, that we're building really purposeful relationships with those individuals? So we want to increase the amount of repeat work we do in those sectors that are important yeah. to us, health, education, housing, and some of the emerging sectors like energy, green energy, and data centers. How can we do that? So that's how we're trying to push ourselves forward and do more, so you can walk around Liverpool and continue to point mm-hmm. at things and say, look, Lily, Mammy did that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a real focus and a real push. And we talked to the business last year and we'll continue to this year about the Curtin's way, the way we engage with our clients, the way we engage with key stakeholders on projects, to be great communicators, for people to want to work with us. And that's what we're trying to create.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I completely agree. I think that this kind of idea of really driving for those purpose kind of value aligned projects, it's the space that we want to be in, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And indeed, I think it's what our colleagues really connect with as well. I know that when we, you know, when we talk to people around the business, whether that's through the forum or whatever that may be, it really is what kind of, I suppose, it flashes for people. I really want to be part of improving the communities that we live in.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So mm-hmm. so we're talking, as we're moving forwards, we've got lots of different sizes of offices across the different regions. So the likes of Leeds, Liverpool, Manchester, London, big offices mm-hmm. making a really big difference in their regions, in their communities. We want to try and make sure that all our other offices are similarly scaled and sized so that they can make the biggest possible difference, the biggest possible contribution. So, well, you'll know from all the discussions we've had around the board table that we don't want to grow for growth's sake.
Yeah.
But we do want to grow to be better mm-hmm. where it's necessary to do that. So we want to strengthen and consolidate the offices that are right sized, and we want to grow in the regions where we feel there's growth to be achieved. So again, that's something we're looking at over mm-hmm. the next few years, mm-hmm. and you'll know the agonizing we've done
yeah,
around the board table mm-hmm. on what is right sized, where are the opportunities, where can we make the biggest differences.
Yeah. Well, it's about resilience ultimately, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, somebody I respect an awful lot had said to me that resilience is our North Star. And I think it's a great line that mm-hmm, in terms mm-hmm. of absolutely what we're trying to do. Maintain our resilience, maintain the focus on the things that we think are important whilst evolving, whilst making those things a little bit better. How can we get these marginal gains in yeah. everything we do?
Mm-hmm.
What do we need to do just to implement little changes to evolve, to continue to evolve?
Yeah. So you talked about the offices there, Neil, and I know that you really enjoy kind of travelling round the four corners of Curtin's, getting to know people, understanding what people are doing day to day, what people's challenges, frustrations, what is exciting them. Talk us through then, what do you see being done brilliantly around Curtin's? Have you got kind of one or two examples of what's done brilliantly that we could perhaps be looking to do more of?
It's a good question. It's a really hard one to answer because the line I said so many times last year was, I think we do everything we need to do as a business brilliantly somewhere, sometimes, and how can we do it everywhere and all the time? So I think having gone round the offices, I feel that even more.
Yeah.
Some of the, whether it be the way we manage our people and develop, provide development opportunities, development objectives, there are some amazing examples of that around the country. When Alex and I went round last summer, and Alex shone a light on a few of those brilliant things, whether it be Matt Wright's calculations, PAX in Manchester, whether it be Johnny Soul's cost tracker, whether it be Sam McCourt standing on the Newport Transporter Bridge. We've got examples of doing amazing stuff. I suppose what we've not been brilliant at over the years is sharing that knowledge. And that's why we've set up the experience community, to try and provide a framework where we can share. We can share that knowledge. We can shine a light on the brilliant people doing these brilliant things, a light we've not had to be able to shine before. And what a wonderful thing it is to do something brilliant and then be able to show off and tell everybody in the business and show everybody. And then I'd like to think that people take that, use it, and improve it, and then play it back, and this you get this loop, this continual improvement loop that will result. So, I don't think I can put my finger on any one thing, but rather to say I do think everything we do everything brilliantly, and if we could just share that better. So that's the real ambition for this year and next.
And I suppose my reflection on that as well is, it's not just about sharing the successes, that I've done this brilliant thing, let me tell somebody else about it, but it's also having a culture where people go, I tried this, it didn't work, don't you waste time and energy trying it and failing at it in the same way. Either, you know, take my learnings and do something better, but, you know, not repeating that perhaps mistake or that failure or that challenge, or look at it in a completely different way. And I suppose just creating that culture where people feel more connected in their collaboration, we kind of look at it from both angles, don't we? And either way, we're really kind of seeing that continual improvement.
Yeah, so I think that's an even more important point than sharing the brilliant stuff, sharing the failures. We all get things wrong. We all say, I don't know. Let's create an environment where we all can be vulnerable enough to say, do you know what, I don't know. Or, do you know what, that didn't work. I got it wrong. And make sure we share that we got it wrong. And this is what I'm not going to do next time. And again, I suspect in the past we've maybe not done that. We've made the same mistakes more than once, it's fine. Again, can we create an environment where it's fine? I do think we have that anyway. It's again creating the framework, creating the connections across all the different locations with all the different people to be able to say, "Yeah, I tried that. It didn't work. Don't do that."
Yeah,
and then I did this instead. It was my alternative, and that worked a bit better. Yeah. And then before you know it, somebody else will be contributing to say, "Yeah, I tried that too," and then I took it on to the next level. And just those connections are going to make us better.
Yeah, and I mean, I've worked with engineers now for 15 years, and I know that an engineer loves to solve a problem.
Absolutely.
So we can kind of, I suppose, combine those collective minds together with that framework and those channels. I mean, it's pretty powerful stuff, that, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is.
Okay, so I want to bring us back then to a kind of nearer horizon. We've kind of talked about the future vision, but looking at maybe the next kind of 3 to 5 years, what can people expect to see?
I suppose it ends up being quite granular, this, in terms of the things we're looking at to facilitate the improvements we've just talked about. The world of technology, I said, is changing fast.
Yeah.
We've got a real focus on our IT infrastructure to facilitate evolution, technical evolution, digital transformation. So as we move through this year, there's a piece of work happening to try and evolve our IT infrastructure. That what we've got in place at the moment existed in, or we installed rather, in 2022. So it's 3 and a bit years old. It's still within its life, but what do we do next? We've started looking at cloud computing, and might that be the right answer for us? We've started looking at building our own data center. That sounds very grand. It would only be a room, but a data center nonetheless. And of course, the risks that come with our IT infrastructure, cyber risks, cyber security, probably the single biggest risk to every business. And we've seen lots of high profile cyber attacks. So we're under attack every day, as every business is. So how can we build that resilience, to go back to your earlier question, within IT, within our digital systems? And then again, how can we create the infrastructure to allow the likes of Mark and Sophie in their new roles, as they're really trying to push us forwards in the digital space, really trying to innovate, make sure they've got the right infrastructure to be able to do that. So that's a real push in both in the short and the medium term. So the decisions made this year, which will inform how we move forward over the next 2 or 3 years. Neve's doing a lot of work at the moment on carbon reduction, and the approach to that. So over the last few years, we've made some brilliant progress in terms of its profile is raised. We record it really well. We now know how much carbon we produce in our projects. The next step, I suppose, is doing something about that. What I guess we don't want as a business, and another one we've talked a lot about at board level, we don't want a net zero carbon badge, because it's relatively easy to achieve that. Mm-hmm. What we want to do is reduce the carbon that's going into the atmosphere. So a great example is all the work that EBU do, where they drill lots of holes in the ground to assess ground conditions. Those drills generate a lot of carbon. So a really easy way for us as a business to reduce our carbon output is to not do that.
Yep.
But that really isn't a very sensible thing to do. Yeah. And indeed, it doesn't reduce the carbon going into the atmosphere. It just means somebody else will be putting it into the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. What we want to do is work with our partners and stakeholders to come up with more innovative, greener ways of doing that drilling work. Maybe even doing more of that work so that you don't spend as much carbon, if we're talking about carbon as a currency, in the building work itself. So really trying to think differently about how we make improvements. Again, it's not about badges. It's not about getting some accreditation or certification that says we are green. It's actually being it, and being real about it. So again, they're the two that spring immediately to mind in terms of short-term activity to facilitate medium-term results.
And in terms of for the rest of kind of this year, we've obviously defined some strategic priorities for the business. We've mentioned the experienced community and the framework that we've introduced to really kind of improve things there. Could you talk us through perhaps some other strategic priorities that we're looking at?
Yeah, well, a big one that, well, you'll know all about it insofar as one of the leaders of it, is to try and improve our gender balance. And what do we mean by that? We've seen our gender pay gap over the last 7-8 years has continued to reduce, which is really, we're proud of that, and we're rightly proud of it. Our graduate intake, in terms of the split, male and female split, is largely 50-50. It varies each year, but around that datum point of 50-50. Brilliant. So that feels like the activities of the last number of years have really started to have an impact. Where we've not seen it is in the technical and delivery roles at senior level. We're not seeing that passing through. So we don't have the same gender balance at more senior levels. We've tried so hard to introduce policies, processes to improve that, put things in place to make this an environment that encourages that, but we're yet to see those results come through. And we always said, I remember you saying a lot of times, if we just wait 15 years, it'll be all right because the world will change, but we want to go quicker than that. So that's a real focus for this year. What can we put in place to try and see some improvements and try and accelerate that? And that's something that's a real focus for you and the team involved in that at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right, we've done some brilliant things. I mean, that gender pay gap reduction, like, it doesn't happen by accident, does it? That absolutely, is a result of our initiatives like reverse mentoring, which we've both been part of, our Success for All mentoring. We've got really enhanced support for both people on maternity leave, returning from maternity leave. You know, we've got these policies in place, which we're really, really proud of. But it's like, right, what more can we do? Neither of us are known for our patience.
Indeed.
Are we? So I think it's really exciting to be, well, I'm working really closely with fellow board director Andy Roberts on this, as you know, and it's great great to kind of hear his perspective as well. This is a drum that I've been beating for a long time. It's a passion, like, ridiculously close to my heart. And I know that's shared by everybody on the board to some degree or another, but Andy's just got this really fresh perspective. So it's brilliant to be working with him. He's run the Kendall office for many years. He's now board director responsible for several of our business units. So he's closer to that kind of delivery, to that role, than I am. So I think that actually, you know, I'm really excited to see what else we do throughout this year and beyond as well that will kind of drive things even further. I think this focused approach, combined with our broader approach, which we've perhaps had before, on, you know, we really know which kind of roles in our business we're now targeting. It's not going to happen in 5 minutes. We're not going to be a business that subscribes to, you know, positive discrimination, because I don't think that suits or works for anybody. But this is where I always talk about equity over equality. What do we need to be doing slightly differently to provide additional support so that people have equal opportunities?
Yeah.
And that's where we're coming from now, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But the way you mentioned yours and Andy's role in that, that's something we're trying to do more of across a lot of our strategic projects, isn't it? Where you and Andy think differently. You've got different backgrounds. You do different roles within the business. And so your answer and your solution to problems will come from a different angle. Mm-hmm. And they will be greater than the sum of their individual parts. And if we can get that to work across all of those projects in everything we're doing, we're going to get real successes, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to move on to a couple of quick fire questions now, so don't overthink it too much. Kind of top of head stuff. What's your favourite thing to do?
Oh, God. I suppose that this might be an age thing. What do I get the most joy from? At the moment, it's living my life vicariously through my three daughters. So, mm-hmm. as you know, I mm-hmm. have three, well, not even teenage anymore. So a 20, an 18, and a 15-year-old daughter. And as I say, I live my life vicariously through them. So whether I'm watching Ella, who was on Race Around the World, as you know, not as a contestant, just as a bystander who got a speaking part. She's now at Newcastle Uni doing English. Whether it's Anna, Anna, my middle daughter, is a wonderfully creative girl. And she's, I tell people, I'm sure I've told you this before as well, she's got a picture of when we were in Thailand, went to see Ella when she was traveling. There was some, she took a picture of elephants. We went to an elephant sanctuary. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure this visual thing I'm doing now works terribly well for a podcast, but
we're with you.
She did, she had a picture of two elephants. She printed it out in black and white, and then she tore the middle out of it. And she's then in charcoal drew the face and trunk of the elephants.
Oh, cool.
And then they were eating, what do elephants eat? Bamboo.
I know.
Green stuff. Okay. They're eating green stuff. And she's then painted that green stuff on. I've framed it. Wow. It's like, I'd buy it. I'd go and buy it. So again, that brings me joy watching them do cool things. I guess it's a jealousy thing as well, because I wish I was traveling. I wish I was on Race Around the World. I wish I could do what she does. In creating these incredible pieces of work. Yeah. So, a lot of joy that brings me.
Amazing. I love it. Thank you. Back to curtains then. What do you reckon's the, like, single most special thing about curtains? I know you'll have a long list to be able to answer this question with, but the single most special thing about curtains?
My one-word answer would be people. But I'll layer that up with what I mean. So obviously the people around us, we all like each other. We really care about each other. You can feel it. You can feel that people want each other to succeed. It comes out of everyone's pores, which is such a nice thing. And so in keeping with what we're trying to achieve, we're all in this together, collective ownership. The opportunities for people, as somebody who started life as an apprentice and now I've got the chief exec role, I feel very proud of that, and I also feel a massive obligation to make sure the opportunities exist for people to progress. What a wonderful place it would be if in the future we only ever needed to recruit apprentices and graduates, because everybody in the business was staying, had the development opportunities they need and could progress. And of course, progression doesn't just mean working your way up and towards the chief exec role, because that's not what everybody wants. That's it's not for everyone.
Yeah.
How can we provide the right opportunities to progress, whatever progression means? So I think of people like Kimberly, who's moved across from an office manager role into the legal team and is thriving. I think of Nick Webb moving out of delivery and into the PI and claims world. The number of opportunities we've created for people to move around the business and fulfill new roles that are playing them to their strengths again. Mm-hmm. You'll be talking to Mark and Sophie, who again have just recently done the same thing at the start of the year, moved into new roles, again related to what they do, but not the same as. And that, I just think that's a wonderful thing. That I've said before, I've been here a long time. I feel that me and Curtins are greater than the sum of our individual parts. I think Curtins has made me better, whatever better might mean. Mm-hmm. I'd like to think I'd made Curtins better too, but maybe others need to be the judge of that. But the idea that Curtins is the greater than the sum of its individual parts is something that I think is what makes it super special.
Yeah, I love that. Absolutely love it. And I suppose just to kind of build on what you were saying about people having those opportunities and it not necessarily being like we talk about a sort of vertical career path and horizontal career paths. I mean, you know, that definitely chimes with me. I started, and I have said this before, and I thought Curtins will do for a year. I really needed
likewise.
A job. Yeah. I think there's a few of us that Curtins has kind of sunk its teeth into. But I joined as a marketing assistant 15 years ago. And like I say, thought, you know, 12 months and get something on my CV and into the big wide world I'll go. And through that time, I've kind of developed in that role within the marketing team. But at the beginning of this year, moved from a kind of director of marketing and communications over to director of culture and engagement. And that was a conversation that we'd had where we saw that there was this kind of potential in the business to build that role, to introduce that role, to kind of crystallize, I suppose, that responsibility as well on the board. And that then provided certainly me, like personally, with opportunity, but within my team as well. You know, we have Kate Clegg, who first joined Curtins, as you'll remember, as a secretary in Kendall office.
Yeah, of course.
And then we tempted her to Liverpool to become our marketing coordinator, I think the job title was at the time. Kate was promoted to head of marketing, which kind of coincided with me, I suppose, stepping away from that role. So, you know, I absolutely, you know, like I say, it chimes with me because it's been my experience. And I think so often it does come down to the individual to say, what do you think about this? How about that? And it's, of course, it's not always plausible for us to act upon that. And it's not always plausible for us to act upon that immediately. But I would like 100% encourage people to just have a word. Have a word with the line manager. Have a word with your local director. Have a word with us and just say, I've got this idea. I think it could really suit the business and I think it could really suit me. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I guess in some ways, what you've described there is individuals and their roles. But that same principle is true for the employee forum. If you've got an idea, bring it.
Yeah.
It might not be the right idea. It might not be the right time. It might not be the right thing. But there's no such thing as a stupid idea. The way we evolve, the way we progress is by the brain power of the 400 people who work here. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I've told you this before, but I went to see Jacinda Ardern, former Prime Minister of New Zealand, last year, like an audience with. And she was absolutely exceptional. I loved her so much. I loved her before. I adore her even more afterwards. But she talked about kind of in her role as Prime Minister, she felt that people always saw the decisions that were made, but not the choices that were made kind of behind the scenes to get to that point. And it really made me think about the way that we work as a business and the transparency that we really try and achieve through vehicles like the Employee Forum, where we do want people to understand the choices that were, I suppose, have led us to the decisions that we made.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and because not all the choices we make, the decisions we make are easy. So that we work in the construction industry. It's a challenging industry. It comes with challenges, and we sometimes have to make difficult decisions. And well, we both know the agonizing we do at board meetings over making some of these difficult decisions, and the care, the humanity that's involved in making those decisions, and the deep and careful consideration that goes with it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to bring us on to our final question then. So this is one that we ask all guests. I want you to picture Neil Parkinson a year from today, okay? What are you going to be doing?
Yeah, well, like I said before, the Neil, what do you actually do? The answer should be nothing, shouldn't it? I shouldn't be doing anything. I'd like to think what I'd been able to do over the course of this year, and when we look back in 12 months' time, is that we have more people doing the things that really getting the best out of them. They're in the right role, doing the right things, working mm-hmm. on the projects they want to work on, can see a future and are even more embedded within the business. So what will I be doing? In theory, more of the same, more facilitation mm-hmm. of the 400 other people in the business, making sure that everybody's right placed, right timed, doing the right thing and happy in doing it and adding mm-hmm. the most value. And again, we've talked about employee ownership and the idea that because we share reward, we share responsibility as well as part of that ownership. If we all know that the contribution we make by doing a little bit more, a little bit better, adds to the commercial success of the business and that we all share in that commercial success, mm-hmm. wow, what a motivator that is for mm-hmm. us all. And again, I hope we're starting to see more and more of that. And that's what I'm really trying to facilitate, mm-hmm. not do. Mm-hmm.
Facilitate, not do. Got it. Thank you so much. That brings us to the end. I'm really, really chuffed that you've joined us today. It's been brilliant to kind of hear, I suppose, about some of the things that motivate you, about where Curtains is heading and some of the kind of focus strategic priorities, but also some of that more kind of visionary stuff as well. So thanks for joining us on Behind the Curtain.
No, thanks for having me. Thanks, Ree.